This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of your mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, rather giving of thanks. But this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to a well-known portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon of the Mount. And over the next number of weeks, we'll take a number of verses from that great Sermon of the Mount. But before we start, let me just make it very plain. Although we have looked at the Sermon on the Mount many times, knowing the Sermon on the Mount will not save you. Actually, there is only one mount that you need to come to for salvation, and that is the Mount of Crucifixion, where our Saviour bled and died, where there's a floodgate of God's mercy, flows a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, flow from that mountain of Calvary. And every one of us this morning, you need to go to Calvary. But we're going to be camped around the Mount of the Sermon on the Mount. But when you read it, what you'll find is this, that when the Lord Jesus taught his people on that mountain, he was actually pointing to the mountain in which he would die. You cannot read this sermon without realizing that you need something for your lives which you don't have. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And what happens is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he gives this sermon, in one way, it's a very evangelistic sermon, showing us of our great need. It's also a wonderful sermon to build up the very children of God. That blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And also, we also have a sermon which comes and shows us something of who we are, that we're the sons of God. But as I want us this morning just to look at one real little verse, and as I mentioned, we've been on this mountain many times. As a church, shall I tell you that we have actually surveyed it. We have looked at it from different angles, because any climber and mountaineerer will always do that before they climb. They want to look now at the easiest route. They want to look at the pitfalls, perhaps things that they cannot cross. I remember only last year when we came to one little verse, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything else is from the evil one. Many stumbled and fell on that very verse. There have been times when we have taken slow walks, where we have gone slightly up here and there. There's been a moment where we've actually looked at the stops and the levels of what it is on the Sermon of the Mount. But there's something that we've not done, and it's easy to miss. And climbers, they do it. They're those people who climb the mountains, and if you ask them, well, what was it like? They will say something, well, what was the view? I didn't see, because I was so concerned of the rope and my hold and the footing, am I climbing, am I keeping, am I doing? You can lose the great sight that you have from the mount. And so it is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and teaches now in the Sermon on the Mount, there is a great vision that Jesus gives us concerning God himself. And just for these few weeks, we want to look how the Lord Jesus shows us that this great God is our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. And that's what you find here. It's in our little verse in verse 16. It's the first time that we read this in this address that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And what you have now is something truly profound. We want to speak in a way where deep calls unto deep. And he is revealing now something about yourself, something about our lives and its great purpose and who God is. And first of all, it's very simple that he says to those disciples in verse 1, he was seated with his disciples, came to him. He opened his mouth and saying, and then in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. And that's the message for you this day, that if you know Jesus Christ this morning, then you are the light of the world. He is talking to those people who have heard that message, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They've come to him. They're the followers of him. They've come to Jesus Christ and they've seen something of that light. And Jesus has something to say to those who have come to him. You are the light of the world. That's what you are. And he says to them now, he wants them to do something. He wants them to shine. Every one of you this morning, if you've had children, you want your children to shine. You want your grandchildren to shine. If you were a rugby coach and you had actually trained with your team all week and you've put them through the paces and you get out on that Saturday afternoon, the first thing you want more than anything else, even if they don't win the game, you want them to shine, to show them the talent, the skills they have, to do well on that very field. Now Jesus has been teaching now his disciples and he says to them, I want you now to shine because this is what they are. A Christian this morning is someone who is light, firstly from experience and secondly from essence. And we need to shine in this world in which we live. It's a dark world in which we live, a world you see who needs light. You don't realize how dark this world is for people who know not Jesus Christ. You think of it, if I asked anyone today on the streets, do they believe in God? I tell you, the most popular reply is this: I'm agnostic. I'm ignorant about whether there's a God or whether there's not a God. You ask people of who Jesus Christ is, and they'll give you perhaps 100 different answers of unsure of who he is. You ask people the way of salvation, they have no knowledge whatsoever. We're living in a world that is ignorant and is in darkness in its knowledge and understanding of even whether this world exists today. Don't you realize you could ask people even about the world and people have got their ideas whether we are real or not, or whether we're part of some kind of computer game. Look, I'm just saying to you, people have no knowledge or understanding of why this world was made or why their lives are all about. They are ignorant to these things. But a person who comes to Jesus Christ is a person this morning, I assure you, what happens is this: you come to the one who is the light, and it's revealed to you the very person of God, his nature, his being, his existence. You come to Jesus Christ and you know, don't you, that you've found salvation. The religions of this world, they're religions which declare uncertainty, what they don't know. But Jesus Christ comes and he says and he declares who he is, the way to go, how to live, what to do, how to know salvation. You come to Jesus Christ, the experience that you have is that you come to that light. But there's more. There really is more. When you come to Jesus Christ, you find there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, we read it. Not only have you come to the light, but that you've also become light. That which you once walked in darkness, the very light of God has shined within you. And this is what he says: for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And when Jesus says to them, you see, you are the light of the world, it's because now something has even happened to you, that you have actually become that which should shine forth in your very life. And the interesting thing is this, is that when Jesus tells them that in verse then 16, the word used is luminous. Luminous. Now some of you know what, you've got those things which are luminous. They are things, if I could think of it, you've got luminous paper. It looks exactly like some other paper, but in the dark, it glows. You go out at night and you've got those signs, but there are certain signs that when it gets dark, they begin to glow. There's paint that you can get for certain places, and you put it on the wall, that when it gets dark, it glows. And the Lord Jesus is saying now to his people that you in this world of darkness, a dark world, you shine, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And you say, how? Because this is what you are as a Christian, and you're supposed to do that. You are the ones in this world today. There's no one else. You are that light of the world. No matter who you are, if you've come to Jesus Christ, if you know him and your sins have been forgiven, and you know yourself that you have that fellowship with him, no matter how bad that life may be. Now, look, it can be bad, and it's not good to be bad. Christians can live shady lives. They can live dark lives. That's why you've got Ephesians chapter 4. He tells them, don't walk in those ways of darkness and in ignorance and foolishness. The Lord Jesus tells us, do you know there are those who you never know, they're never straight, they're always secret. But at the end of the world, at the end of the day is this, you are the light. There is no one else. It is you. It's your light in your family, as mother and father, as wife and husband. It is your light. There is no other light. In the streets of Narberth, in the community that we live, you are that. And if you don't shine brightly, there's no one else that can shine. In your places of work and what you do and the way that you are. Do you see, you are the ones who know God, know the way of God, know the salvation of God, know the things of God. Where else could they possibly find it? And he says, do you know what I want you to do? I want you now not to hide it under a bushel, but you're like a luminous paper that you are going to just be and let it shine. That's what you are. You're children of light. But there's something else here I want you to look. How are you going to do this in verse 16? He says, let it shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, there's something which we're called to do, and he's calling his disciples, and it's something that they are to be in deed and in action. Not just in words, but in works. Now, I know that you may have heard this many times from the pulpit. Years ago, it was often said, don't do what I do, but do what I say. That's a very bad, very bad, very bad indeed. And it's on bad on many accounts, because I can tell you now, there are many who can actually preach to you with lips which are from heaven, and they got feet which are going to hell. And when you come and you, it's a dichotomy that can confuse even the best. And you know what he says is that you need to know now today of what it is of those works and those deeds that God wants you to do. Those good deeds. Now look, you need to look at this for an example. Don't think for a moment just because someone speaks a word that is a good deed. So, for example, I can give it to you here. Let's have a look. It's found in chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You will practice lawlessness. So you've got to know today, what are those good works? Because Jesus tells them. You can call me Lord. You can preach and prophesy. You could do miraculous words. But I never knew you. Now, there are three things that we need to know, first of all. And the first is this, is the very place of good works in the Christian life. Don't ever put the cart before the horse. There is no way that this book ever teaches that any human being can work their way to heaven. The gospel is as plain as it could possibly be. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. And what these people are coming to learn now is that when a person becomes a Christian, you become a Christian by faith alone in Jesus Christ. There comes a moment where you put your trust in Him. You say to God, I am naughty, I am filthy, I need forgiveness, I plead your mercy. He comes to you, He forgives you. You know the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. There is no one you see in any work that you could possibly do earn your salvation in any shape or any form. Again, in those verses which you find in Ephesians, they're well known, aren't they? In chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. But listen, it doesn't end there. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And when a person comes to salvation, it's like this. You come and you say, you sang the hymn, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to that cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, foul I to the fountain fly. You say to God, I haven't got a prayer, I haven't got a religious deed or work I could offer to you. But when you come, He tells us that you've been saved for good works. And if there's anyone here this day who thinks that they're a Christian because of the figment of the imagination in their head of something which happened years ago and it's never reached your hands, you're a fake. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. And you may have said that prayer a million times, but I'm telling you now, it's a dead faith that you've got. Because when He comes to save you, He says, He's come to save you. I'll make you zealous for good works. He says that you will maintain good works. And there's a place for them in the Christian's life. It's not to make you a Christian, because no one could ever work. But when you are a Christian, it's for your service and your thankfulness unto God. But there's something else that we need to know. We definitely need to know, don't we, what those good works really are. Because please note this down now. You may be thinking in your head now of all those organizations you're part of and that you're wonderful at those works of charity. Get that out of your head now. Now, that somehow the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us all of a sudden we've got to be, you know, kind and charitable. Yes, you should be. But let me warn you, chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, you can forget your works of charity if your works of charity are done before men. Let me read it to you. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have your own reward. And don't think for a moment that He must be speaking about those religious works of prayer and of fasting. He says, hold on. He's not concerned. You can do them. You've got your reward. You've got to know what good works are. I mentioned in the prayer meeting, I've got a series coming up, and it's entitled this, When Prayer is a Waste of Time, because God has put it in His word that there are many things that you may think you can do in the Christian life and you think that they're good works. And in chapter 6, he says, you call them good, Jesus calls them bad. And you say, well, what possibly could these good works possibly be? Well, we've already heard, haven't we, this morning? You could say, well, I need to be someone like the preacher in the front. If only I was doing that kind of work for God. I tell you, this will not help you one bit. You can prophesy in his name and you can be lost. There are people in the pulpit when they should be home feeding and working for their families. There'll be those which are taken up because they want to do their Christian and evangelistic work, but you know they stink in their family lives. You haven't got a clue what good works are. You can have your miracles, you can do them, but they're not good works with God unless they're done in a certain way. You say, what are those good works? People, they go on pilgrimages. They give their lives to monasteries. There are people this day which they do their Christian kind of deeds, believing that these things, and you know, this is the good work. Shall I tell you what it is? It's none of those things, because these things are of men. The good works that God's got for you are the commandments which he's given. They're very simple, very simple. A good work is what God has commanded. And God has commanded that you should worship him. God's commanded that you should not take his name in vain. God has commanded that you'd have you'd honour the day which he has given. God has said to you that you should not lie. God has said to you that you should not kill, but he means this, that you should be helpful and kind to one another. When God says you shall not steal, he means this, that you should work with your hands, that you've got something to give to other people. When God gives us these commands, he has given us these works. It's these things that God wants you to do in your life. The things which God has said. It's very simple. And God has given you, has he not, those things. Look, you can think that you're doing a good work. But God may have never called you to it. He doesn't expect you to be part of it. But there are things which he mentions in his word which are good. Do you know, there are brothers and sisters that you need to care for. There are people that you need to help. There are things in your family that God has given you to see to. Do you know, God's really pleased when you act as a brother and a sister, when you're faithful as a husband and a wife. That's a good work, you know. Good work. It's a wonderful testimony for people in the community and all around. The faithfulness, the promises, all these things shine forth. They're good works. Third thing you need to know is this. Only the Christian is able to do good works. No one else is able. And the simple reason is this, is because the Christian has been saved from the bondage and the slavery of what it is to try and work their salvation. Because no matter how good and wonderful things that people do, and we're glad, you know, that people may do wonderful things and do their works of charity and do those things, yet Jesus does warn them, they do it for a purpose and for a reason. It is possible, believe it or not, to do good works for the credit and the reward which you get in this life. It's possible to do good works so you think that you may be somehow trying to climb your way and earn your brownie points with God. And you know what those are? They're splendid sins. They stink because God knows them. Because what you're doing is this. You're thinking of number one and of yourself. And your real aspiration is not for the goodness and well-being of other, but for the very peace of your own personal conscience. But when a person becomes a Christian, you know, don't you? You know that there's nothing that you can really do that could ever, you know, earn that. And then you've got that freedom that you just want to do those things, to please him and to thank him and not to be seen by others. But even though you're to do it before men, if you want to be seen, hide. If you want to hide, you need to be seen. That's what we got here in the Sermon of the Mount. And he says, this is what you are. But listen very carefully, because the wonderful thing is this. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the third thing this morning. It's the wonderful truth of your life, which God has given you, and is for this purpose. It's for the purpose to glorify him. I don't know if you knew the purpose of your life. The chief end of man, yes, is to worship and glorify God. But it's not just, you see, in your words, but it's also in your deeds and in your actions. And you have a wonderful calling. It is incredible, which we're told about here, that there is a God who is the God of glory, and he's a God to be praised and glorified. And this God is, as we know, he is the Father of lights, and he's the one who every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And I want you to see that. Do you see, the Lord Jesus now comes to his disciples and he's got something to say to them. He says, now you are light. You're the children of light. I want you to shine as light, because there's something about you that will give glory to God. He's the God who is no darkness whatsoever. And he is the God, listen, he's the God who only does good. When he began this world, he made it and he said, it is good. And he makes something else and he says it is good. And he made man and woman and he said it is very good. And God does only those good things. God is a good God. And all the things that happen in this world in which you see it's bad, it's terrible, but God himself does all things well. And he says, now I want you to think upon this. There is the God who is good, and who is light, and he is your Father, your Father. And you are to glorify him. And in your life, believe it or not, where there's only been at times shame, that you now are being called to be something which will cause that, which will bring glory and to God. We're living in a world that despises and questions the goodness of God. There are things which happen in this world which people blaspheme his name. There are those this day which only use him as a swear word. Look, do you not realize that he is your heavenly Father? And he is the one who you belong to. And that is something precious to you. You can't just allow just these things to take place without being touched in your heart and your experience. If someone said something against your earthly parent, your mother or father, no matter how bad they may have been, the reality is you're not going to allow it. You want honor. You want honor to be given to them. And this morning, do you know, in your life, you've got a great, wonderful purpose, and he's given you this, that you should bring him glory. And you're going to do it through your works, nor through your works. Through the little deeds that you do is going to be a means by which others will come and know him and praise him and acknowledge him. And whatever else you may be thinking about your life, remember this, God has prepared before you this very day things that need to be done that they will bring others to a knowledge of him in some capacity. It means no matter how small, there is a word that you can speak to encourage someone. There is a deed that someone will ask you, a favor someone will press upon you. There are needs in which you are to give. There are things and errands you are to do. And every one of those little deeds are massive for this great glorying of God in their lives. We talk about evangelism, but you know, we have no bridges at all in this world in which we live. And the deeds that you do is a bridge by which someone can cross and enter into a place of worship just like this. They would never have thought of it, never dreamed of it, but there was some day when they had a great need and there was no one else to turn to, and they thought to themselves, that person says they're a Christian. And they came to you, and you came and you dealt with them and you helped them. And then there comes a time you say to them, how are you doing? Wouldn't you come? Come on a Sunday. And they come. Do you know there are deeds that you do where not only people come to a place of worship, they come to Jesus Christ. You say, how did it happen? Well, it was just simply this. I met someone. I didn't know what, but they were in trouble. And then I took their name. It was that opportunity where people would come to honor and glorify God and to know him. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And you are part of that work. And whatever else you want that glory to be given unto your Father. He is worthy of it. He is all glory. He is all good. And you know that this is what people need to know in your life. He is your Father. If you're a Christian this morning, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how lonely you are, no matter where you are in this life, you have a Father to be honored, and one in which you want his praise to be given. And he tells his disciples that by those little deeds that you will do, they will do that. Look, don't ever, ever underestimate the deeds which people do. You most probably, by the time, oh, time's gone. Look, I didn't realise. Look, we're going to finish, right? But when I get out to this pulpit one day, I know this, you will forget, I would imagine, 99% of these messages that I'm giving you. But if there was ever a time that I did call on you, ever a time that there was one deed done, you'll remember that. You'll never forget that. And it's like that in your life. Stanley Baldwin, who was Prime Minister before the Second World War, he was greatly savaged in the newspapers and the media for the way that he left this nation so vulnerable to the Nazis and the growth of their power and what he did, which he was in power. Do you know his son wanted to clear his name of the accusations which were made about him and the thought that he didn't carry out his job in such a way? And he wrote a biography of his father. Wonderful little biography. Winston Churchill went to see him. Winston Churchill said he only found him helpful, encouraging for the day in which he was living. And the son of Stanwell Baldwin wrote that biography to clear his father's name. And you're going to go out brought you now to these streets today, and you're going to live a life that will bring glory to your Heavenly Father.